There were thousands of first responders, including firefighters and rescue workers, at the World Trade Center following the 9/11 attacks. And 20 years later, researchers have documented an increased incidence of several types of cancers. But a new study suggests there's reason for optimism. The first responders appear to be surviving their cancers at significantly higher rates. Now, the question is, why? NPR's Allison Aubrey joins us. Allison, many of these first responders spent weeks at the Ground Zero site back in September of 2001. What were they exposed to?
Well, just after the towers collapsed, the air was filled with smoke and debris, basically all of the contents of two skyscrapers, all the concrete, glass, pipes, computers, you name it, everything kind of pulverized and burning into ash, laden with all kinds of heavy metals, including lead and other toxins. I mean, many of us remember that plume of smoke and debris that could be seen from space. And Dr. Michael Crane, who's an environmental medicine expert at Mount Sinai, says there has never been anything quite like it.
The exposure was really dramatic. You know, the dust, I mean, there was all kinds of carcinogens and combustion products and fibers and glass fibers and asbestos fibers. It was really a witch's brew.
And given what was in the air, there was definitely a concern early on that it could increase the risk of certain cancers.
Yeah. Now, what have doctors found? I mean, how much of an increased risk of cancer is there among these first responders?
You know, some of the most recent data suggests that the total number of cancers is only slightly elevated compared to the general population, but scientists have documented significant increases in certain cancers, a 25% increase in prostate cancer, a doubling in the risk of thyroid cancer, and a 40% increased risk in leukemia. There are, in addition, a number of rare cancers linked to the exposure. I spoke to Elizabeth Cassio of the New York City Fire Department, who was diagnosed a couple of years ago. She told me about her experience on 9/11, arriving on the scene at the World Trade Center just as the second tower collapsed.
You know, we were walking through 6 to 10 inches of concrete sand, and literally the entire dust cloud that was in every direction, we were literally engulfed by it.
And she spent weeks at the site and breathed all of this in.
Yeah, that could not have been good. Did she have any health problems right off the bat?
You know, she was one of the first responders who developed a cough that eventually went away. But then 18 years later, she received a diagnosis no one wants.
You know, when you hear the word cancer, it's a sobering moment. It's a scary moment. And the doctor was like, look, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
She was told that she had a tumor in her cervix. It was a rare, invasive cervical cancer that could spread quickly. And her 9/11 exposure was likely a contributing factor.
Wow, that is rough. What's next then? Radiation, chemotherapy?
Yes, she had both radiation and chemotherapy. She had a very aggressive treatment plan, and she says it was really rough. She was in severe pain, lots of side effects, but she responded very well. About halfway through the treatment, her doctors ordered a CAT scan, and she got some unexpected news.
Both oncologists were really happy that the tumor had shrunk dramatically, very quickly. And I did feel relieved. That to me was good news.
She finished her treatments and now she's doing very well.
Wow, that's awesome. I mean, is this kind of experience typical?
You know, survival rates vary. Elizabeth is part of the World Trade Center Health Program, which is a federally funded program providing monitoring and treatment to first responders for conditions linked to the 9/11 exposures. There are thousands of responders and survivors in the program. And though some cancers are elevated, it turns out quite surprisingly that first responders are significantly more likely to survive their cancers. Here's Rachel Zeig-Owens of Einstein College of Medicine. She's just published a new paper that details the outcomes for first responders.
They were about 35-36% more likely to survive than the general population. And that is a good feeling.
So, Allison, could this be because they're finding the cancers earlier?
You know, that's certainly one explanation. They are finding some cancers earlier, perhaps due to more screening. And then these folks are getting incredible care. They work with nurses who help manage their cases. They can be driven to and from their appointments. They're getting the best treatments available, and it's all paid for. So there's no putting off appointments or treatments due to the expense. Elizabeth Cassio says she was incredibly well cared for.
There's a tremendous support network. You're not worried about, how do I pay for this? You're not worried about how do I get to and from. So there are a lot of stressors that don't exist for us.
Being part of the fire department, she says, there's a whole community of people ready to help.
And I think it's safe to say that everyone's got their fingers crossed that this is something that can continue long term. Are they likely to continue to beat their cancers?
You know, I think that's the big question, and it's uncertain. I mean, the first responders were on average in their late 30s on the day of the September 11th attacks. Now they're in their late 50s. Firefighters and EMTs tend to be healthier than the population at large. They need to be pretty fit to do their jobs. So as they age, will they continue to beat the odds for surviving their cancers? It's not clear. Dr. Michael Crane, who is also medical director at the World Trade Center Health Program Clinic, says time will tell.
The really exciting thing is to kind of dream now of this study actually continuing on and maybe being done in another 5 years and another 5 years. And this will really help answer a lot of those questions.
You know, it goes without saying, A, that cancer is always a hard diagnosis, but this evidence that there's an improved chance of survival is encouraging.
Yeah, it is. That's NPR's Allison Aubrey. Allison, thanks.
Thank you.